Please note disclaimers at end of show.
Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to show number 111. This is your host, Jason Hartman. Glad to have you here listening today. We have our interview with Rich Dad author Robert Kiyosaki coming up in just a few minutes. After we chat for a little bit, I've got Brittany here with me.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
And listeners. I'm doing well, thanks.
Don't just say hi to me.
Yeah.
Got to say hi to them too. I guess we'll start with you, Brittany, okay, since we just introduced you. Of course, you've heard Brittany on the show before, and she just visited her hometown, Phoenix, Arizona, and looked at some of our new property offerings out there, and it was hot, right?
It was 113 while I was driving around in
the
car.
But, you know, it's a dry heat.
It is dry. It is, but it's still, it's in triple digits. It's stinking hot, I'll
yeah,
say that.
Yeah, that's for sure. But you know what? About, 5 million people live there. So, you know, it's funny when I talk, you know, being in California, we're pretty much the only place in the country with sort of great weather, but I think it's kind of boring weather because I love storms. I love changing weather and I love changing of seasons. Now, you know, you always like what you don't have, right? You know, if you're dating a brunette, you want a blonde or vice versa. Okay, none
good
of that.
Example, right?
Yeah, well, I just threw that one in there. You know, everybody kind of wants what they don't have. So when I move, and I am going to move, I'll see how I like it. You know, maybe I'll hate it and I'll want this boring Southern California weather where it's always, you know, 75, 80 degrees. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people live in these places. That's what's kind of funny in our when we have live educational events here in Southern California, all of the locals say things like, well, who would want to live in Houston? It's hot and muggy in the summer. Well, the fact is, 5 million people live there, folks. Okay. You know, the rest of the world doesn't live in this Southern California climate, you know.
And a lot of the people are moving from Southern California to Phoenix.
That's for sure. And they're moving everywhere because California is kind of a failed state, in my opinion. It's a state with huge financial problems. I'm waiting for my tax refund. At least now I know that I'm not going to get an IOU, and the banks stopped honoring the IOUs when the state was issuing them. So this state is a disaster of epic proportions, chasing business out. And that's just the way it is. But here I am on another tangent. Brittany's pointing at the watch and saying, hurry it up. Brittany, what do you have to say?
All right. Like Jason mentioned, I visited the Phoenix market, some of the properties we have out there. And yes, it is a hot market, figuratively and literally.
Well, it's kind of hot now because prices have been slashed in half. And, you know, as I've said on prior shows, we were recommending the Phoenix market about 4 years ago. I bought a property there. And it went way up and then it came way down. So now we think it's, again, we're not optimists, we are opportunists. And we think it's time to look at this market again.
Yes,
because the prices have become so low. The RV or rent to value ratios are really desirable now. This is the time to get in when all the dead bodies are in the streets. You know, you pick up the great deals that way.
Yes, I was able to meet with one of our agents out there and view some of the properties that we have recommended on our site. Unfortunately for you, the listeners and the investors, about half of those properties that I viewed are now sold. And
yeah,
that was 2 days ago that I visited.
And like you said, the market is pretty hot.
It
you
is.
Know, it's properties are moving out there again because it is literally now cheaper to buy than it is to rent in many of the Phoenix submarkets. And we're finding that in a lot of places. So that's, you know, one of many good signs.
Mm-hmm. The relationship that we have with the company out there, they have many great properties. They rehab the properties and they most of the time have a tenant in place by the time you purchase. These properties need little rehab. They're pretty new. Most of them built since 2000. And one property that was just uploaded onto our site today by one of our agents there, It is in Mesa, Arizona, a great growing area. It is only $107,000 is the listing price, renting for $950,000, and that's a pretty low rent, very conservative, in the lower 25% for that area. And it's cash flowing, 21% return on investment, great house, good curb appeal, great income property. I'd go on our site and look at that right away.
Yeah, and so what Brittany is sharing with all of you listeners is the pro forma, the projection, which is on our website. So it's all detailed out at jasonhartman.com/properties. You click on the map of the United States, of which state you're interested in, and we have properties in many states. And then you'll see, you click on list of properties in this area once you select sort of the bullseye of the city.
Right. The bullseye, for some reason, for Phoenix is listing more over to the Apache Junction area, even though
just the way
more...
the Google Maps set it up.
But, right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't change that, but all the properties will be listed there anyway.
Yeah, they're in the Phoenix area. So you go and you click there, click list of properties in this area, and then you'll see a whole list of properties. Well, you know, whatever we have available at the time. Then when you click on a specific property, a one-page performance projection comes up. And that gives you the projected return on investment, before and after tax benefits, cash flow, projected rental rates, et cetera, square footage, all of the details. Okay.
So anyway, that's a current house that we have available in that area, Mesa, Arizona. Go ahead, check it out. We'll have new inventory hopefully there soon. Like I said, these are going fast. Purchase now.
Okay, excellent. Good point. Yeah, the market, you know, in many of these markets, the markets are really heating up. And if you've been taking in what the news media has been telling you in the last month or two, you'll see that buyers are out. I mean, again, we are not real bullish on the general overall economy, but in many of these markets, the bargain hunters are hitting the streets and they're buying stuff like crazy because they're sensing a bottom, or we're sensing very close to a bottom in many of these markets. And I interviewed Jillian Tett today. She's a award-winning journalist with the Financial Times, and she wrote a book called Fool's Gold, and we'll have that interview up soon. And, you know, one of the things all of the experts are saying, remember, it's not just about price. Real estate or income property investment is a multidimensional asset class. The interest rates are so darn low now, and the opportunity you have is that the treasury auctions, China is not buying our debt like they used to. And what does that mean? That means we're going to see higher interest rates in the future, because we will have to offer, as the dollar is being so debased, and again, you've heard this discussion on prior shows, we will have to offer higher yields to attract buyers for these bonds. And that means higher mortgage rates, folks. That's not like some crazy prediction. It's just a fact of supply and demand. So look for higher interest rates. You want to lock in while prices are low, rates are low. We're not saying we're expecting prices to rebound a whole bunch anytime soon, but part of the multidimensional nature of the investment is the mortgage, when you can lock in for 30 years at these low, low fixed rates. Okay, what else, Brittany? Anything else?
That about sums it up.
Okay, thank you so much for visiting there and giving us that update. Couple of other things before I want to talk about a few more properties in just a moment before we go to the interview with Robert Kiyosaki. Couple of events coming up. Of course, August 15th, our Creating Wealth in Today's Economy event here in Orange County, California. We've got the Masters Weekend on October 10th and 11th. That's our semi-annual event, so it's only twice a year. And be sure to come out for that. We'd love to have you. And I want to thank Richard Lillycrop, who has been on the show before. We interviewed him a long time ago. He is in England, and he is flying out for the Masters Weekend. So I think that's our furthest away visitor so far. We've had many people fly in from New York and, you know, all across the U.S. before. But I believe, Richard, you have got the record. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate having you attend the event, and we want to see more of you. So I know some of you listeners in Australia, in various parts of Europe, Asia, the Middle East, come on out. We'd love to have you for the Masters Weekend, and we'd love to meet you in person. Products. We have got many new products that we're producing, not the least of which is our new newsletter, the Financial Freedom Report. And our editor, Doug, has put together a great third issue for August, and we are about to go to print on that. That is available for subscription. There is a fee for the newsletter, but we have some free samples at jasonhartman.com in the members only section. So you can get a free sample there. And you can also subscribe under the events and store section of jasonhartman.com. You can buy a subscription there to make sure you don't miss any issues. And we have got the loan modification, the do-it-yourself loan modification kit there. That is a 56-page PDF file, as well as an audio download. So we had it read by a professional voiceover person. And then we have got the Creating Wealth in Today's Economy seminar. Finally, I know we've had literally thousands of people ask us for this. We finally got around to producing this in audio and printed format. So that also is available on the site. And we edit it down to a nice streamlined, it's about 2.5 hours long, I believe. If you'd like a copy of that, go to jasonhartman.com, click on events and store, and it is there for you. We've got the 5-book series, which is the hard copy of all the podcasts with extensive visual aids, charts, all kinds of great things that many of you have asked for as well. The first book is about to be published for the Amazon.com Kindle product. I have the Amazon.com Kindle ebook reader, which is a great little product, and it'll be available that way as well in print and PDF downloads. So look for that as well in that same section of the website. A couple of properties I just want to tell you about real quickly before we go to the Kiyosaki interview. 5-bedroom house in the student housing development in Columbia, South Carolina, University of South Carolina, or USC campus housing. So this one is 1,836 square feet. It's $250,000. We got a $5,000 discount for you on that. And the projected rental income is fantastic. Now, remember, this is brand new. So this is not a rehab. This is a brand new development. The projected rental income, $2,350 per month. Cash flow is positive by $59 per month. Return on investment projected at 20% after tax benefits. And again, that's a turnkey package, real simple if you like that one. Here is a better kind of deal property, but not as turnkey and not brand new. This is in Dallas, Texas area, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, projected rental income $1,350 per month, and the price is only $130,000. Price per square foot is only $65 per square foot. This is a newer property. Again, you can't rebuild it for that price. So when you're buying at or below the cost of construction, you're in for a pretty good deal no matter what. Projected cash flow is $1,598 annually. Projected return on investment after tax benefits, 27%. So call our investment counselors or contact our investment counselors through the website on any of these properties. Here's one in Georgia. If you saw the picture of this house, you would be amazed. I love the looks of this house. $102,000. Down payment, $5,330. Again, these are really short on supply. So folks, if you're interested, you got to call right away. You might have to wait to get one of these. They're a little bit hard to get. The projected return on investment here, because of the additional leverage, is projected at 52% annually. Don't try that in a mutual fund. Very low down payment. So go to jasonhartman.com and you can fill out the contact us form and contact any of our investment counselors by calling us at the number on the website at jasonhartman.com. Another thing I wanted to mention to all of you listeners is how funny it is when you look at the precious metals community, the gold bug community. You know, I get this newsletter from a company called Lear Financial. It's just an email newsletter. It comes about once a week, I guess. And every single time I get it, it's always about how gold is ready to do this and that. And look, it, you know my position on this if you're a regular listener. I think gold and silver are okay. I don't think they are an investment. I think they're just money. They're just insurance. But if you want to really grow wealth, you're not going to do it with gold and silver unless, you know, you happen to get a lucky break, okay? For 20, 30 years, they've been talking about how everything's about to collapse and gold is going to triple in price, and it just hasn't happened yet, okay? Here, I'll just read you a couple of the headlines. Precious metals are ready to shine, okay, is one article. Here's another one. Gold will hit $1,500 within the next 5 years. Well, if that happens, that's really no big deal. If you have a good leveraged income property, your return is going to be far better than that. Remember, these precious metals don't produce income. They don't have tax benefits. I've gone over those characteristics before. They're subject to manipulation, et cetera, et cetera. You can't finance them. Folks, these aren't investments. The problem is people are trying to treat metals like they're investments. They're money. I admit that. They're better than dollars. I completely agree with that. So I take kind of a middle ground on this whole metals thing. So I just wanted to mention that because, you know, these gold bugs, I hear them on the radio and I look at their stuff and, you know, we've got an interview coming up with Howard Ruff and he's a real famous gold and precious metals person. So I think you'll be interested in that interview. I already recorded it and it will be coming up on a show real soon. Enough talking about this stuff. Let's go to the interview with famous rich dad, Robert Kiyosaki. And he has about 250 grand a month in cash flow from his apartments. And I think you'll really enjoy this interview. You've probably read his books. Here he is. We have a very exciting interview for you today. It is our special guest, Mr. Robert Kiyosaki, the creator of the Rich Dad series, and more recently, The Real Book of Real Estate, with 22 contributors, including Donald Trump. And it has had great reviews from Publishers Weekly, and also his newest, very creative venture, which is entitled The Conspiracy of the Rich. We'll ask him about in the interview here today. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you on board. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts. You know, of course, we want to get your take on the economy. I mean, you've had a very distinguished career as an entrepreneur, an investor, an inventor, and of course, a best-selling author. What recommendations do you have for people wanting to create or protect their wealth in today's economy?
Well, I always recommend getting more financially educated. If you look at the people that are hurting financially today, most of it is due directly to a lack of financial education in our school systems. And then you look at our financial and political and banking leaders, they haven't been putting out the best advice for people to follow. So that's why people are in trouble. So if you want to protect yourself, the best way is to just make it, you know, dedicate yourself to getting financially educated. That's what my rich dad did for me. And one of the reasons I'm prospering in this time is very simply because I have an education and I didn't listen to those guys who sell mutual funds.
Yeah, no question about it. They want you to just stay long in the market, and that doesn't work anymore, does it?
Oh, it never has. That's suicide. You know, why would you put your money into such a volatile instrument, such as a stock or a bond or a mutual fund, where they're good. They're really short-term investments. They're not long-term. I mean, you're in and out. Like Jim Cramer is a trader, and he's in and out of the market, and then the financial planners tell you to go long the market. You've got to be nuts. That is crazy. That's insanity.
I agree with you completely, Robert. But, you know, I'm sort of wondering why the mainstream financial services industry has that advice. I mean, is it because they're just lazy? Is it because they get, in the olden days, the brokers got accused of trading or churning the accounts? I mean, now it's all like this managed money model, and they just sit there and they're long on everything. It's just crazy. That whole industry seems like a big myth. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for anybody.
Well, that's what I wrote about in my book, Conspiracy of the Rich, which is an online book that's for free. And it'll be taken down, I think, July 7th. You have until July 7th to read it for free. It's 12 chapters long.
And that's at conspiracytherich.com.
It's just no mistake that they're telling you to put your money in there long, because that's how they get your money. The same as when a banker tells you to save money, that's how they get your money. And if you're not really intelligent, or they tell you your house is an asset, it's not your asset, it's the bank's asset. So I really don't know why people believe that garbage, but like I read in Conspiracy of the Rich, this crisis was a long time coming, you know, coming for years.
Sure. The Conspiracy of the Rich project is fascinating. I remember when I first received an email on that and I went to the website and there was one sample chapter there. The subject matter's exciting and interesting, but also the way you're involving people in the project. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? It's really a fascinating model that you've created there.
Well, this crisis has happened before. It's happened all throughout history. And so I thought it would be kind of interesting to write a book about history as history was being written. And so as people were reading along, they could actually see that this has happened before. And this is no mistake. It's not an accident. You know, the whole model was based upon bailing out the banks. So, and that's why we have the Federal Reserve Bank, which, as you know, is not a bank.
That's for
sure. So this whole thing was basically how to get your money and my money legally via the assistance of the government. So if you look at the four things that make people poor every single month, is number one is taxes. Number two is debt, you know, car payments, mortgage payments. Three is inflation. You know, that's like you said, notice the price of gas going up or food can go up. And four is a retirement plan. So those are the four things that make the average middle-class person poor, but they're the very same things that make guys like me rich. And if you have a financial education, you can pay, I can make millions of dollars and pay 0% in taxes. I use debt to get rich, not poor. You know, I'm not against owning a home, but I own an apartment house. I own thousands of them. And I use debt to get rich. I use inflation to get rich. That's why I invest in oil, gold, silver, copper. And I don't need a retirement plan.
Yeah.
And all of that money goes to conspiracy.
Right. The 401k is probably one of the worst deals going nowadays, isn't it?
Oh, it's disastrous. And these morons are still out there saying, oh, I called my financial planner. They say, just stay there for the long term. I said, well, you have I don't know where you came from, but you're not a very bright person.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, we are definitely living in interesting economic times with government spending and the creation of fake fiat money at unprecedented levels. What are your thoughts on the opportunities that are out there nowadays for prudent investors? I mean, I want to ask you geographically, too, as far as real estate goes and product type. Apartments, single-family homes, mobile home parks. Any particular likes and dislikes there?
Well, my message is the same. If you're an idiot, you're going to lose your money. So you don't just go and buy something. There's four basic asset classes. Number one is the business. And the richest people in the world own businesses. That's Bill Gates of Microsoft and Apple, you know, Steve Jobs. The second is real estate. The third are stocks, bonds, and paper assets. And then the fourth are commodities. So I own all four, but I am a student of all four. If you don't have any education, you're going to lose money in any one of them. So, you know, people have lost money in real estate. They've lost money in gold and silver. They've lost money in businesses. And yet they sit there and they still think they can get lucky. I don't know where people get where their heads are. You know, trying to get rich is like flying an airplane. You know, you don't just climb in it and take off because you will crash. So it's not investment. It's not the real estate or mobile home or apartment houses or business. It's you, the individual. It's your financial education that determines if you'll be successful or not.
You know, you can make money basically in any product type if you know what you're doing. That's kind of the takeaway. Okay. Do you feel this is a good time to be stocking up on more income properties and more mortgage debt? One of our big strategies is you're buying these properties basically as packaged commodities. When you get the land cheap or free and you buy below the cost of actual construction, then you put long-term fixed rate debt against them. And as inflation comes, it makes the value of the commodities increase and wipes out the value of the debt. We see this as the ultimate arbitrage opportunity. Do you feel the same way?
No.
How come?
Well, because you're counting on something else. I don't do it that way. I just don't do it that way. What I do is if it doesn't cash flow, I don't buy it. And then my whole thing is to buy it and then increase the debt on it, not reduce the debt.
We agree with that, too. I mean, we definitely agree with that.
Just hear what I'm saying, Jason, is that if you're not smart, you're going to get your butt handed to you out there. Look, real estate, like the economy, is predicated upon jobs. So you can buy the best real estate in Detroit, and if jobs keep going out of Detroit, you're still going to lose money. So I only buy real estate where there's jobs, i.e. like Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Dallas, and Houston, because there's oil there. And as long as there's oil, there's jobs. But the other thing is, it's not just buying it and hitting and missing it. In theory, your ideas work well. But there's far more to it than just real estate and financing and debt. There's a lot more to it. That's what I caution people on. You know, just because a stock is cheap or real estate is cheap or business is cheap doesn't mean it's of any value.
You are so right about that. You know, we see promoters out there all the time promoting these properties in Michigan, especially in Detroit. And, you know, Detroit used to be one of America's flagship cities. And the population has been virtually cut in half over the last couple of decades. And I just think there's no real future there. If you don't have job growth, if you don't have population growth, you're dead. And California, you know, this is one of the reasons we haven't recommended California in years. We like the markets you mentioned. We like Texas quite a bit. You know, we have a lot of investors buying properties there. We like the southeastern U.S. The mid-Atlantic's pretty good in the Carolinas. I definitely agree, but the property has to be sustainable. Self-sustainable so that, you know, you're not in big negative cash flow situations, and then you have that other stuff working for you. So I'm completely agreeing with you. I just want you to know that. Yeah. There's no difference of opinion on that stuff.
And the other thing is that you have to know whether you're buying A, Bs, or Cs. A, a high-end, B is middle class, and C is slumlord. And I have focused only on Bs. Mm-hmm. So the A guys are getting crushed.
Right.
You have to be highly specialized to do those, what do you call those, Section 8s and all that stuff.
Right.
I don't touch that. I'm not a slumlord guy.
Right.
I'm strictly in the B category. I have been there all my life. So I don't just jump around the place. I really focus, and I know my product, I know my customer, I know my market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying it takes education. It's nothing to do with real estate. It has to do with who's your customer, what's the business you're in.
Right.
We provide affordable, safe housing, what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as long as there's jobs, we'll be okay.
Very good. In the Who Took My Money book, which I really enjoyed that one, there's a fantastic graph right in the introduction that shows a $10,000 investment in the S&P 500 compared to real estate. And it shows it from 1992 to 2002. And basically, with some leverage added, the real estate investment outperforms the S&P by like 800% because it has, of course, these special characteristics. Why is it that people still believe that, you know, the stock market is the best way to go? I mean, I know you alluded to it already, but any more points you can give our listeners on that would be just always appreciated, because this myth is just so perpetuated. It's everywhere.
Okay, let me give you the four asset classes again. Just start your own business, and a big business person has 500 employees or more. That's what I have. Second is real estate. Third is the paper. And fourth is commodity. The reason most people are in paper is because that's where the conspiracy makes their money. They, you know, after 1974, they pushed everybody into the 401ks. And they have no control. So to run a business takes the most brain power. Real estate takes the second. And third is stocks. So the reason most people are in stocks is it doesn't take much intelligence. You just sort of buy it. It's scalable. I mean, you can buy $100 worth or $100,000 worth. And then you don't really have to manage it. You just kind of buy, hold, and sit on it and hope the company stays alive.
Yeah.
So stocks, you can make a lot of money in stocks, but like anything else if you're smart. But since most people really don't know anything and they're not competent in the financial world, it's really easy just to buy, hold, diversify, and pray, get killed. It's really tragic. The middle class of America is going to wipe out.
Yeah, I know it is. And when you mentioned before the A, B, and C property types, I think we're going to see, and we're already seeing a lot of people moving from A to B, and a lot of people, unfortunately, are going to move from B to C probably. As we see the middle class disappearing. I mean, what are your thoughts on the middle class? You know, it's interesting that you call this the conspiracy of the rich. And I hate how people get sort of vilified that, you know, ever bring up a conspiracy theory here or there. And I interviewed G. Edward Griffin on my show a couple of months ago and you know, other people. And we've brought up the issue of conspiracy theories and so forth. It's getting tough to think in a way that this isn't a conspiracy, that they the powers that be want to see the size of the middle class reduced. Or is that just kind of a title? What do you think about that?
Well, this is really easy to take control of stupid people who are broke.
Yeah, right. And buy their votes, right?
Yeah, just make them any promise. Yeah, we'll send you money every month for Social Security. So, I mean, it's a tragedy. I'm not a socialist. I think it's socialism taking over, personally.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is quite scary. And I think with all the talk of healthcare, you know, what's interesting is they say they're going to cover another 50 million people with government healthcare, yet the number of doctors and nurses isn't really increasing. The math on this whole deal just doesn't work. And I'm afraid it'll become like, the other socialized countries where people basically die waiting in line. It's really scary when you see what's happening. And the elite class won't be participating in the plan they're recommending for the rest of us, you know. So,
right. Well, again, that goes back to what I, in Conspiracy of the Rich, is that in 1903, John D. Rockefeller took over the school system. And that's why we don't have financial education in our schools. That's not an accident. So, I mean, if you really wanted this country to prosper, you would have financial education. But you look at most school teachers, and they're good people, highly educated, but they need a job just as bad as anybody else. They're all, most of them are union members. And that's socialist. So I said, man, they have the right to do that. It's just not who I am. I'd rather not need a job, and I'd rather not be a socialist.
Yeah, no question.
Just about free country, make a choice.
Right. It seems as though that the school system, and I know you've talked about this before, you know, was really set up to train workers for the big industrial companies at the time, and it really hasn't changed much you know, for modern society. You know, it's be a follower, don't learn financial education. It's mind-boggling. And I know you do this as part of your foundation as well for your charitable side, is people get out of high school and they don't know the thing about money. They don't know whether you should buy or lease a car, how to balance a checkbook, you know, how to structure anything, how to buy a house, the most obvious things. I mean, it's amazing that that is not taught in school. Even in business school, it amazes me that people go get an MBA and they're sort of naive in certain ways about financial matters.
Well, you look at listen to the mantra, go to school so you can get a job, work hard, save money, buy a house, and put your money in a 401k. They're programmed to be like Pavlovian dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Go to school, get a job, work hard, save money, buy a house, get out of debt, and invest for the long term in a well-diversified portfolio of mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all they know. Those poor guys are just sheep. It's really tragic.
Yeah, it sure is. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, predictions for the future, where we're going to see the economy, what part of the cycle we're in now, you know, what the stock market's going to do, et cetera, et cetera?
No, I mean, nothing's really changed. You've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, nothing has changed. You know, I write in there, I think it's chapter 6, you should just print your own money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Federal Reserve does. I just print my own money. To me, that makes more sense than trying to get a job at also pancakes.
Yeah.
You know, why would you go and get a job and they're going to take 50% of it, 50% in taxes, and then you're going to try and pay for your car insurance, and try and buy a house, cheaper in debt, and then you wonder why inflation is eating you, and the reason inflation is eating you is because the bank just prints money, and they go, well, what's happening? And then they tell you to save for your retirement, and then you lose it all in the stock market. I mean, people who are doing that, obviously, aren't that like, you know, I don't understand why they just keep doing the same thing. It doesn't make sense to me, but they do it.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me either, but if you look at the powerful voice of the financial services industry and the government and the education system, you know, it's just so pervasive. I mean, in every magazine, I can't believe it, Robert, when I open a magazine like, you know, Money Magazine or Kiplinger's Personal Finance or even Forbes, you know.
Well, you're not particular where you read.
Yeah, no. Sorry, I don't really open them that often. But the cover will say, retire rich, 48 ways to make sure you can retire in comfort and prosperity. And then you open the articles and it says, buy a diversified portfolio of mutual funds, you know, invest in TIPS, treasury, you know, inflation protected securities. I mean, this is like amateur advice. It's just childish. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. You turn on CNBC and you get this kind of advice from a lot of their guests. Yeah, it's the same thing. And what's interesting is that the IRS, most people, and the stock market really doesn't recognize inflation. You know, I had Peter Schiff on my show a few months ago. He makes this statement. He says, the appreciation from 1929 until the Dow hit its peak, where we were looking at, you know, bumping up against 14,000 in the market, has been only dividends. There has been no real capital appreciation in real dollars, although there has been in nominal dollars, obviously, in 70 years. And it's amazing that people invest in this stuff. It's 19 ounces of gold back then and 19 ounces of gold at the peak to buy the Dow. It's just mind-boggling that people don't understand how the value of money keeps it's fluctuating. When you talk about inflation, I mean, obviously, we've got a lot of it coming and credit has contracted so much. And I think that's the reason we don't see it yet. Do you have any thoughts on when we're going to see this inflation? You know, a lot of the so-called experts say, you know, 18 months out, the inflation is really going to rear its ugly head 2 years out. What are Kiyosaki's thoughts on that?
You're already seeing it. It's called taxes. When taxes go up, you have to have inflation. So Obama's going to have raised taxes. California's raising taxes. Everybody's raising taxes. I mean, state governments are bankrupt.
Yeah.
So look, inflation is caused by the purchasing power of your dollar going down, but it's also caused by the government taking your money through taxes. So it's already happening.
Right. Now. It's amazing when you look at it. You know, I saw in a recent article that 46 states are in financial trouble to one degree or another. Obviously, California is one of the worst. You know, do you think we're going to see a federal bailout of California? I mean, what's going to happen? You know, I live in California. I've lived here most of my life, and it's a joke. I mean, it is disgusting the way they have run this state into the ground, just spending more money on social programs and, you know, buying votes with it. You know, that's all they're doing.
You know, I do my best to stay away from politics, those predictions. I know California is in trouble. So they're starting, you know, they're starting to pay with IOUs now.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen? I really don't know. Probably the most likely thing is Bernanke will just spend more money and give it to the state. He's already giving the state of California billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's where people will see inflation, but it's just being sucked out right now. People are so much in debt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, people are trying to hang on to their homes. It's a tragedy.
It really is.
I just got off the plane from New York just now. I was at Fox News last night. I walked up to the desk and this young girl, I said, "Hey, how you doing?" She said, "Terrible day. They just let me go."
Wow.
And there you go. So that's really probably the biggest tragedy, because jobs, 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 jobs. People keep losing the jobs. It's not going to get, you know, the economy is jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see new jobs coming in. You talked about Detroit. When I was on Fox News, they did a story on Procter & Gamble, which is the Indian car company. And they're coming in with cars, you know, like half the price of GM.
Right. In India, they sell that car for $2,500, I guess, or under $3,000. It's a real revolution, the Tata Motors thing. Yeah.
I don't know why people think a bailout's going to save them. I just think we're just delaying the inevitable. So I don't have that. I'm not optimistic. I have lots of gold. I have lots of silver, cash, income-producing real estate, and well-managed properties where there's jobs.
Right.
Not that hard a formula.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's not. But certainly people need to get educated and understand the stuff you teach. How many books do you have now, you know, between your Rich Dad, Poor Dad series and, you know, the one you did with Trump and the latest one? And The Conspiracy of the Rich will be a book, right, in September?
I think it will be.
Okay.
It's supposed to be coming out. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know how many books I have. I mean, I just keep working.
Yeah, that's fantastic what you do, though. It really is.
I think the book that really did it was called Rich Dad's Prophecy. I think it was 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And it's predicting the biggest stock market crash that's still coming. I mean, it hasn't hit yet.
And the Rich Dad's Prophecy, my understanding of that book is it's based on people pulling their money out of the ERISA plans that were started in the 70s, right?
Right, because they have to.
Right. So they'll be forced to take distributions, I think it's 70, and, you know, they can take them at 59.5 or something like that. And so that will cause a collapse of the stock market, and that's coming right up. What is that, about 3 years away till we start to see those a lot of those forced distributions?
Right. It might be faster.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, that's why, you know, you and I know it's silly to be counting on the stock market for long-term financial security. It's insane. But as you say, people do it, and they don't know why they do it, and I don't know why they do it. So we're singing to the choir here.
Yeah, we certainly are. And, but some of our listeners, you know, they're still having faith in the stock market, too, because I get their emails and I get their comments and so forth. What is it you're really up to in terms of your latest stuff? I mean, you've got educational classes, you've got books. The main thing really right now is the real book of real estate, right? That's the 22 contributors.
Well, it's one of them. Yeah. I have The Real Book of Real Estate, A Conspiracy of the Rich, and I'm working on a couple of other books.
When you come back to real estate, what makes me pretty optimistic about good income properties in the right markets, done the right way, obviously with the education that, you know, you talk about as being so important, and of course that is the first most vital step. What makes me feel good about them is that we still have a population increasing. It really one of the fastest rates in U.S. history right now, about 3 million people a year. It's another baby boom combined with an immigration boom. Now, immigration has subsided a bit because the jobs aren't here like they used to be. And then globally, there is a huge population boom going on globally. That gives me a sense of security when it comes to really any commodity. And, you know, what it seems like you're investing in a lot of times with these little inexpensive rental properties is the construction materials. I know you've mentioned that before. I believe it was on your PBS special, if I'm not mistaken.
You're talking about the fundamentals, and it makes a lot of sense and all this. You know, there's three things to any business deal. You have to go to the right partners. And, you know, if you invest in a mutual fund, you're the mutual fund's partner. They're not a good partner, but people invest in them. So I have very good partners. I have to have good financing. And the trouble with mutual funds, the financing sucks simply because it's your money. You put up 100% of the money, you take 100% of the risk, and you only get 20% of the profit because the mutual fund companies take the money out. On top of that, your money is taxed at earned income levels, which is the highest tax. I mean, why would you put money in savings and mutual funds? I don't know, because you get taxed the highest of that. And the third thing you have to have is good management. So real estate, after you put those things together, it's management intensive. You know, it's no different than you have a car, and somebody take care of the car or the abuse. So those are the three basic things. You know, when somebody tells me I got an investment, I want to know the partners, I want to know the financing, I want to know the management.
Right.
So I just right now am, you know, and I stay in residential and I have athletic clubs. But I think office buildings are in trouble. I think retail is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So that, again, it's jobs.
Yeah, right.
We have a lot of empty big boxes in town right now.
You can go to many cities in America and look at see-through office buildings again, which, you know, we really haven't seen much of that since, I guess, the early 80s, where we had that other big downturn. You know, it's like, well, the last person to leave a lot of these places, please turn out the lights. It's really
right.
Terrible. And so the office and retail market are very bad, but people always need a place to live, don't they?
Well, like I always say, my properties is the last stop before the street.
Right.
And, you know, it's really sad because the number of homeless is skyrocketing.
Oh, yeah.
So they're hitting the streets. I have a house in Honolulu, and you have all of these guys just sleeping on the beach right next to the tourists, and it's driving the, you know, the business bad enough without having bums sleeping on the homeless versus sleeping next to you on the beach, you know. And so tent cities, because I was in New York yesterday, and you can see the lines of homeless people lining up for food. This is not an ordinary time. It's really a time to be smarter.
Right, yeah.
It's a good time, but not just a reckless time.
Yeah, no question about it. You got to be very careful right now. And I think we're going to see that homeless numbers increase quite a bit. And what's really scary about it, Robert, is that we're seeing formerly middle-class people. You know, I did some volunteer work with a soup kitchen here locally in Orange County, and they are feeding a lot more formerly middle-class people nowadays. This is not the lower end of society anymore that is coming in for, you know, a free lunch meal. It's really scary. And when you see those tent city interviews and so forth, the middle class is just being attacked. And I think Wall Street is a big part of it. And the Federal Reserve, as you say, you know, those two.
Well, because there's four things: taxes, debt, inflation, and retirement's killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know what's hitting them. And then they want the hot tip as to what to buy next. And I'm going, geez, don't you know that's what got you into the trouble? You don't have any financial education. So I really don't have much, should I say, compassion if somebody really doesn't want to make any changes to their lives. They're just going to do the same old thing.
Right, yeah.
I have guys my age in their 60s that are now, so I'm going to look for a job. I said, well, you should have thought about this when you're 30.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my retirement's gone. What should I invest in? I said, you should have thought about this when you were 30.
Yeah.
But I said, well, it's too late now. And I said, well, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. Colonel Sanders lost everything at age 66. And when a highway went past his chicken shop, and so at 66, he started selling his little chicken recipe and built Colonel Sanders out of that. So it's not too late. It's just that people are too lazy.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants the easy way out, don't they? They want the instant gratification and the easy answer, right?
I do,
yep.
But I didn't find one yet, so I'm still waiting for it.
So you're still working hard, and you don't need to work. So
yeah, I'm waiting for the easy answer, and I still haven't found one.
Yeah. Yeah, very good point. I just have two more questions for you. Do you have any particular, I know you seem very focused on the fundamentals, which is great. You know, it's pretty simple what you've said. It just takes some work to follow it and some education to follow it. But do you have any particular sort of economic indicators that you like or things that you look at to understand what's going on and to make proper decisions?
Well, like I said, I wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad, and nothing's really changed. You know, there's cash flow and there's capital gains, and most people invest for capital gains. That's why they say they're, you know, those are the guys that are getting wiped out. 90% are capital gains guys. That's why they say my house is appreciated or my stock went up in value. But you're getting killed. You know, why do you keep doing that? Like today, the stock market's up 9 million points again, and people are happy and crashing down. And like, what a stupid game to play. So I just watch Stupidity Factor. You know, like, I just want my cash flow. Every month, send me my check. I own 1,400 rental units. Every month, I get my check. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. I have 8 oil wells. Every month, they send me tens of thousands of dollars. It's not big money, but if you're making about $250,000 a month in cash flow, you can sleep at night. Most people don't make that a year, and a lot of us, not highly taxed money. So to me, that just makes sense. I don't understand this watching the ups and downs of the market, what you're saying. I go, why would you do that?
I can't give you an answer because I don't understand it either. I'm in your camp, so I completely agree with you.
It's like you say, people have to have a place to sleep, and you know that number is increasing, and people are downsizing. And if they think that the stock market's going to save them, that's not too smart.
Yeah.
But they'll do that. Or Obama will save them.
I don't think Obama's going to save them. I think he's going to destroy the value of their savings and their stocks and bonds through inflation. But time will tell. We'll see. It's not going to be much time, if you ask me. Well, just in closing things up, any words of wisdom you can share with the listeners? I know I have a lot of big fans of your work who are listening. What do you want them to know?
Well, I think I've covered it. You have to make up your mind which asset you want to develop. You know, do you want to develop your own business? You want to develop real estate, paper, stocks? You know, you can trade the options market, but you want to do commodities, because I do all four. But I made the decision a long time ago. So there's so much more opportunity, but not if you're thinking in the same old ways, like the market's going to go up or my house will appreciate in value. That's gambling. That's capital gain. Nothing has really changed that much for me. I print my own money. Like when I write a book, I print my own money. When I put $1 million into a piece of real estate, I get my $1 million back, and I still own the property, and I still get my cash flow. I love those kinds of deals. You know, it makes sense. I take that $1 million and I move it someplace else. It's all tax-free money, and I buy another apartment. Nothing has really changed. So buy a business, buy real estate, play the stock market, or invest in commodities.
Very good, very good. Well, Robert Kiyosaki, thank you so much for joining us today. And more information at conspiracyoftherich.com. And I know you have other websites as well. You're welcome to give them out, or conspiracyoftherich.com.
Yeah, Conspiracy of the Rich, like I said, will be pulled down July 7th. So it's for free right now. And the intention is to put it out in book form. It's already had like 25 million hits to it. So it's been very successful and explains why we're in this crisis and why people are being wiped off the map with taxes, debt, inflation, and retirement plans.
Yeah.
And it makes other people rich, but it makes them poor. And they keep putting it back in the stock market. Man, how stupid can you get?
It's the definition of insanity, you know, keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. That's what the stock market really is for the non-insiders, huh?
Or go to school and get a job.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. Good
work hard, save money, get out of debt, invest in a long-term and well-diversified portfolio mutual fund, and read Money Magazine.
Yeah. Not very good advice, sure. So that's a good closing. You know, ending with what people shouldn't be doing, and those are the things they shouldn't be doing. They should be following the Rich Dad plan, and you know, you've covered that here. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Copyright the Hartman Media Company. For publication rights and interviews, please email media@jasonhartman.com. This show offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Opinions of guests are their own. Jason Hartman is acting as president of Platinum Properties Investor Network exclusively. Nothing contained herein should be considered personalized, personal, financial, investment, legal, or tax advice. Every investor's strategy and goals are unique. You should consult with a licensed real estate broker or agent or other licensed investment, tax, and/or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed. Please call 714-820-4200 and visit www.jasonhartman.com for additional disclaimers, disclosures, and questions.